Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm a feminist, but I told a man recently that now he's getting married, he has to learn to drive because it's unmanly to rely on his wife, and I stand by it. It's true. This is Ned Sedgwick from Global Pillage. Some of you will know he's my sidekick on Global Pillage. He also does a podcast called Grown Up Land for BBC Radio, and he's getting married, and I just said, you've got to learn to drive. Come on. Because he was like, well, my fiancé can drive. And I was like, it's not good enough. What if she breaks her leg? You need to be able to drive. Man up and learn to drive. I'm sorry. I'm a bad feminist. I don't know what to tell you. You shouldn't have come if you didn't know the show was called Guilty Feminist.
I've got two sexist ideals that I live by.
Yeah.
One is that I can't be taller than my partner. I know.
Well, I'm taller than my partner, so now that makes me feel judged.
No, I don't judge you. It's judgment for me.
I have a lot of things like that.
Yeah, absolutely fine for everyone else.
Yeah.
Just for me.
That's how I feel about inner beauty. It's great for others.
Yeah.
And I believe in it for others. I really do. But I see everyone as beautiful. I do. I see, you know, I can meet an 85-year-old woman who, and I just think, my God, your skin is so full of wisdom and experience, and it's so soft. And I just,
and then it tells a story.
Yeah, and it's just genuinely beautiful. It's soft and glorious. And I don't stroke it. I feel like I'm acting like I touch old ladies' faces, and I don't.
Let me smell your eyelashes.
That sounds wrong, but no, but I genuinely look at it and go, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I see one line and I'm like, no, on my own face.
Get a needle in it. Is that what Botox does? I don't know. I've not had it before.
Oh, really? It sounds like you have it all the time.
Is that what? Oh. No, I think I talked about it on the show last time. Someone asked me if I did Botox and I was quietly delighted. I'm like, no, I've actually just got a lot fatter. Thank you. My wrinkles have been filled out and my skin looks amazing. Cannot recommend weight gain enough. Really takes the years off. I'm a feminist, but even though I'm an advocate for social distancing and PPE and vaccinations, I've worn this material mask so many times that it has more than three sets of lipstick on it.
Oh! I might have.
That's a disposable one though. This is a what, like, that's dirty, isn't it?
I rewear disposables.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know if that's a feminist issue. It affects women? Question mark?
Everything. Everything's a feminist issue if you go on Twitter. I'm a feminist, but when Blurred Lines comes on the workout playlist, my personal trainer loves it so much. It brings her so much joy. I can't bring myself to skip it. And my God, is it a tune? I mean, it really is a tune. And I'm sorry, but it just is. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible song. Never listen to it. It also bangs.
It bangs, mate.
That's a bangs. That's a young person slang.
Yeah, or it's a banger is probably. Well,
it slaps.
I mean, there is.
Can I say it slaps?
I
have said it.
You can absolutely try and say it slaps.
I've said it. It's too late.
I don't know if it has the desired effect. It feels good coming out of a young person's mouth.
How old do you think I look, really?
No, I think you're my age. But if I said it slaps, a young person would go, give it up, old lady.
I believe myself to be timeless.
Well, you are timeless.
I believe that. I believe that about myself. I think people see me as about 34. Why would anybody laugh at that?
Is now the time to talk about white middle class female privilege? Is now, like, that confidence, that's amazing, isn't it?
I'm editing all of this out of the show.
Why? Love it, Deb. No. I would love to have your confidence.
Do another I'm Feminist bar.
Fortunately, my depression keeps me at bay. I'm a feminist, but I was late arriving at the show because I was trying to perfect my eyeshadow. I mean, before that, I was cooking for my toddler. I was cooking him dinner.
You said it was a baby issue.
Yeah.
You said, I'm going to be late because of the baby.
Well, yes. Well, this is what I'm clearing it up. I was cooking my toddler dinner, but I'm a feminist and being a working mum comes with added responsibility and limitations. Wasn't as funny.
I'm a feminist, but while I was writing that I'm a feminist, but about Blurred Lines, I admit I put it on. It was just, you know, in my head, I was just like, and I just thought, who's it going to hurt? Who is it going to hurt just to listen to it once? No one else is here. No one else is going to know. I know I don't agree with the values of the song, and even less do I agree with the values of the music video. However, then when I put it on, I thought, that's going to go on there on Robin Thicke's, you know, the numbers. What's the numbers called? The ratings.
Spotify. Oh, like yeah, streams.
Yeah, exactly. His streaming numbers will go up. So I thought I should buy it. So then if I ever want to listen to it again.
So you just give him money instead of...
I didn't. But I did wonder what the ethical thing to do was.
I don't want it going,
oh, it's still number one. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want that.
I've got some bad news for you. Not only is it the lyrics very sexist and the film clip very demeaning to women, it also they've been charged with copyright. They stole from Marvin Gaye song.
Yeah, I mean, that part happens all the time. Every song on the radio,
people get robbed all the time. That doesn't mean, look, people get their wallet stolen, and what are you going to do about it? You're not going to implement the law, are you?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know about that because there's so many songs where someone goes, that was really mine, and da 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 da. This is fought out law courts all the time.
This is just about a sample. When I heard the song, I'm like, oh, it's Marvin Gaye. We had Marvin Gaye growing up. I mean, I didn't give birth to him, but we had him playing in the house. So yeah. I knew that song. It's one of my very favourite Marvin Gaye songs.
Oh, so it wasn't just one of those ones where there's only so many notes and you put them in a different order.
I mean, now isn't the time. We're in the middle of a podcast, but I'll show you afterwards. It's Marvin Gaye's.
Oh, I thought it was just one of those ones. You know, there's only so many notes and they've got to go in an order.
Yeah.
There's a limited number of orders that those notes can go in. So this happens all the time, I thought.
Totally. And if it's a chord progression, I understand that. Therefore, you know, I'm sure you've seen Axis of Awesome's four-chord song.
Yeah, yeah.
That highlights that. But this is like they've stolen the music, not the chord progression. They've stolen the percussion. They've stolen the – just a direct
They
rip-off.
Shouldn't have done that.
No. Or they should have paid and now they have.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Another reason not to. Although if I buy it now, am I really giving the money to Marvin Gaye?
No.
Okay. I'm not going to buy it. Calm down, feminists.
Angry as a creative person. I'm like, the intellectual property has to stand for something.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. No, I genuinely did only listen to it the once. I won't listen to it again.
Look, the problem is there are so many problematic artists. Like Prince, there's horror stories about Prince and how Sinead O'Connor recorded Nothing Compares to You. Mm. Like terrible stories. David Bowie, I think, like had an affair with a 16-year-old girl that went for years.
Can you please stop talking? James Brown. I don't want to know anymore. I don't want to know anymore because when every time you tell me that's another album
that's
gone.
That's right. But that's right. You just need to know what you're listening to and what has come before.
I prefer not to know. Do another I'm a Feminist part. Lockdown has changed me.
Well, you're going to love this one then. I should have been writing my set and I'm a Feminist Butt on the tube, but I was watching a murder documentary about two white straight men in jail.
Oh! Hey, ho, too much murder. That's all I'm going to say. It's a lot of murder. It's a lot of murder on our screens.
Yeah, I mean, it's always women. It's always women.
It's a lot of murder. It's too much.
You're absolutely right.
It's too much.
Yeah, it's a lot of murder. Compelling viewing though, isn't it?
Yeah. I did enjoy Mayor of Easttown.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. The headlines about that was Kate Winslet has allowed herself to go on screen looking the age she is.
Yeah.
And I was just like, but then I watched it. I was imagining, my God, what's happened to Kate Winslet that people are writing about this as headlines? She looks like Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
Like she's let her roots go and she's, you know, you can see that her face is not 22. But on the upside, she doesn't look like her own spitting image puppet. Like the Friends reunion. Do you know what I mean?
No, I didn't watch it. Deb and I have very different lives, but we love each other very much.
That's true. You're on my mixed tiles wall. I got some mixed tiles.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're on my mixed tiles
wall. That is such an honour.
I know.
Do you know about mixed tiles?
You guys know about mixed tiles? You just upload photos onto the online and...
What she's saying is we've both been targeted because of our age group on Instagram.
That's right.
And we've gone, that looks interesting, and we've bought it because we are the perfect target market
now,
for that.
Now, what's great about mixed tiles, and this is, I swear not, they've not asked me, you peel off a strip off the back, then you can hang it directly on a wall, and if you want to move it, you just take it off and move it, and it sticks again and doesn't leave a mark. I know, yeah. I know. A gasp from someone in the front row. It's not an ad, but it should be. Mixed tiles, if you want to hit me up with some money for saying that. I will accept it.
We have mixed tiles as well. The problem is if you live in a very dusty house, which is anywhere in London, with the windows open on a hot day, they will become more difficult to stick if you, say, moved house and didn't put them up on the wall for 12 months.
And
so they don't always, like, stick straight.
So stick them once and then leave them, ideally.
Yeah, maybe you've got one more stick in you, but I don't think this is, like, a 5 or 6 opportunity.
Okay, all right.
Just ahead. I just want you, the people, to know the product that you're buying, okay? I'm a consumer watchdog and I'm out here for you guys.
Yeah, listen, I was just about to get a lovely check from Mixtars there and I'm getting
absolutely.
A lawsuit.
Absolutely. I am exhausting.
Now I'm getting a lawsuit. Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Show presents the Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis White, guest co-host Felicity Ward, and our very special guest, Dima, actor, and Sol Escobar, talking about being extra with music from Ava Waves. Hello, 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 and welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Guilty Feminist. That's right, gang. We are all in the same room again. Oh, shit. And I've immediately destroyed a piece of technology and stopped recording. That's a backup recorder. Now, listen, we are back here in the room, but not everyone can be in the room. Some people are elsewhere, so let's just find out where people are. Someone says, hi, Colette, the show hasn't started yet because someone else says we can't see anything. That's because there's nothing to see. But there is now. Just in case people at home were thinking it's not a lot to see, I thought I'd do something. Gavin from Canada, hello! Gavin from Canada is becoming a regular character. He is a chap who, when I went to Canada, to Toronto, he, at the meet and greet afterwards, was wearing a shirt that said, I'm a feminist, but I wish I were John Hamm. Ah, I know, it was charming. It was the beginning of a wonderful rom-com, except he was married. And so was I. But other than that, where are people from? It's... Oh, in the room. You're from Spain. Sorry, I'm trying to get these people to say, but look, why not? Why not extend it out to people that have bothered to turn up? Not these people. These people have stayed in Canada. You've bothered to come from Spain. Spain, thank you very much. Hola. Where else has anyone come from?
Italy.
Italy. Have you come from Italy? Not just for this show, though. Not with COVID. How long have you been here?
3 years.
3 years. Okay, so really not for this show. Okay. We're delighted that you've come anyway. How is feminism going in Italy, do you know? Or is that why you're here? What was that? Catholicism, remember, it's really tough. Fair. Okay, just one word, the Vatican. Not going as well as it could be. But presumably feminism is sort of, you know, it's doing its thing.
Uprising, yes.
Yeah, a slow uprising, a very, very slow revolution. 20 years behind. Can I, any advances on 20 from anyone else in the audience? Anyone else from anywhere else they reckon is further behind than Italy? No, you're the worst. Okay. Anyone else from anywhere else? Croydon! Come on, the Croydon massive. How's feminism going in Croydon? Not well. Not well. Why? What do you base that on? Street harassment? There's a big list of Croydon complaints. Well, listen... Give them to us. We'll issue them to the Croydon patriarchy. We're good friends with them. We know them well. I mean, you've got to know your enemy. We bump along. Are we ready to start the show? Yeah! Then please welcome to the stage my incredible co-pilot for this evening. It's the wonderful Felicity Ward.
Hey, everybody. Hey, just quickly, you came out here and started asking where people from and people started yelling out. Yeah. I don't know if everyone knew that you were doing a live stream.
No, they didn't at
yeah,
first.
Yeah, no, you did it because I was watching it going, I don't think they, because I just found out that we're doing a live stream. So I thought there might be some people in the audience with me too. If we are doing a live stream, Deb, you know, I'm just emptying my pockets. I rarely have them, so they're absolutely chock full of shit. It's just like I'm just showing off, like, oh, sorry, guys, just got so many pockets. They're so deep. Just got so much stuff in it. You know that I am notorious for doing a guilty feminist dance. And yes. I saw you open with a kick. I'm like, come on, Deb, get off my fucking coattails here, mate. It's all I've got. All I've got.
You've got so much more than that. You've got rhythm, you've got music.
Thank you.
You could ask for anything more. You've got feminism, you've got a child now.
I do have a child, yeah.
I think last time you were on the Guilty Feminist Live, I don't think you had a bambino yet.
Yeah, I did. No, because I did it last December. It was one of the only gigs that I did.
Oh,
it
yes.
was the only gig I did between lockdowns.
Yes. Was there an audience, though?
There was an audience.
There was a small socially distanced audience. Because we did a few live streamers from here with no audience. And that was strange. That was like, it was great. I mean, obviously, it was better than doing it at home in my pants.
Was it?
But there's
you had to leave your house and you had to put more pants on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I had to layer up. I had to put a bra on. But the number of things I've done this year that have just been my standards.
Oh.
I'm quite a glamorous woman in real life.
You know, are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, she is.
Do you know, in a way, when you say that to a friend and they go, are you? It does erode the confidence.
To be fair, I was trying to make a joke, but I think that the guilty feminist audiences have become so kind and so compassionate that even jokes that might sound a little bit mean, they're like, well, that's a mean thing to say. Let me give you permission right off the bat that Deb and I have known each other for a very long time, and if you do find something funny, feel free to tell your mouth. Just let it out. If I may do a very old joke, if you've got a funny laugh, this is the place for you, yeah? Because when you laugh, the people around you laugh. We think we're funnier than we actually are. Now, if anyone has a snort, you let that shit out of the gate, yeah? You let it out because a snort to a comedian is like a burp to a chef. It's the highest compliment that you can pay us. But these live comedy shows, they're about laughing out loud. They're about making some noise because, as my nan always used to say, you can't hear a smile, cunts. So she was a concreter.
Did she really say that?
No. Do you know why I said it? Because
no.
It was a joke.
No. Okay, she's setting the tone. She's going in hard.
I'm going in hard and strong, motherfuckers.
Okay.
Yes!
This is...
Yes!
This is what happens when you keep comedians in a box for too long.
Oh, yeah, because this is very uncharacteristic of me to swear and get too enthusiastic.
I mean, it's true, though. I feel like starved of an audience. I got so sick of Zooms because I just was like, Zooms are not funny inherently. Like, no. Zooms suck your talent out of you.
Yeah.
They really do.
You do need to make... I mean, look, there was some Zoom gigs where I almost said, I'm doing this for the money during the gig. That doesn't fly so well for people that are paying for a performance. No. But it's very hard to take yourself seriously when you don't have anything on from the waist down.
It's so hard. I have done them with my hair wet out of a shower.
Yes.
I've done them just like I haven't showered in 2 days.
Yeah.
I've done them in all bathrobes. I've done work in bathrobes.
It feels
nothing
good
underneath.
It
nothing
feels
underneath.
Right when you're a comedian.
Oh, I'm just desperate to put like...
I'm just desperate.
I mean, that too. I was desperate for a bit of glow up, which is I've learnt this from the young people lately. Oh. Glow up is makeup.
Deb, yeah. I love nothing more than when you try to use youthful language. It is simply my favourite. When you said before, big up to the Croydon Massive, I'm like,
I mean,
that phrase just died. That is, middle class white women have just gentrified that phrase forever. Black people can't use it anymore. Deb just closed the gate on it. It was unbelievable.
I feel it was, listen, I don't use things unless they're dead in the water for a good 12 months.
Oh,
I
think, 12 months, 12 years, Deb. And that is the kind of cutting edge language you can get on this show.
So glow up means makeup.
Does it?
Yeah, that's what I heard. Glow up. I don't really understand how to use it.
It doesn't mean that.
I don't know. How do you use it in
a
sentence?
Glow up is like a before and after, but it happens over time when someone has developed into something incredible and they might have been fine before. So, for example, and I'm not a millennial, but I'm going to use this example. Someone in here will know, the really nerdy kid from Harry Potter, what was his name? Neville. Yeah, I mean, even the name, like, never stood a chance. And then he had, like, the glow up all time and now we all want to fuck him. He's just...
Wow.
He is that's the glow up.
Was his surname Never Had a Chance?
Yeah.
Was it Neville Had a Chance?
It's Sri Lankan, I think.
So he had a glow up, by which you mean he evolved into something more...
Desirable.
Desirable, glorious.
I mean, he wasn't initially desirable because that was illegal, but since he's become a consenting adult... Quite the glow up.
Okay, all right, I understand. But then why is the makeup show, the reality show where makeup artists fight to the death for, I don't know, a contract or something, why is that called glow up then?
Because they're turning someone who is, I mean...
Already a fucking
already
model.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, but it's a glow up because they still develop them into something more.
Right, okay.
And they're using youthful vernacular.
Why was I not informed of this term earlier? Because I've just heard it. I just feel like somebody... Is there a young person in the audience who could offer a service or even a WhatsApp group where when a new piece of lingo, as it were, comes into the vernacular, I'm informed for
immediately,
a start. Immediately. This is what the young people are saying. This is what we're talking about now. And then I'm given it in a sentence and I'm given a few opportunities to practice within the WhatsApp group.
Sure.
So that I don't use it wrongly or too late in the day.
See, part of the joy of being young is that old people don't do anything you do.
Okay, sure.
So
I do
see
that.
No one's given that to you.
Okay, I do see that. But I am...
Deborah motherfucking Francis Wine.
And I don't know why this has happened in my life, but I'm Generation X.
Yeah, as am I.
And I, thank you, big up to the Generation X's there. Big up to my Gen X massive.
I believe you mean, what's up? That is
That's
for the
right.
Generation
what's
X.
What's up?
What's up?
To my Gen X's, my fellow.
Did anyone else just pull a 1994?
but I have the value set of a millennial because my theory is I lost 10 years to a cult and it had to sort of resurface. So I see myself as something as a time traveller, if I'm honest. Now...
That's not a joke. It's somewhere deep inside Deb.
Oh,
she's like,
no, it's true.
It's only time. It's
going to
happen.
Also, I have what I call a Moses complex. Have I ever told you about this before?
That you can split large weights of blood? I don't know the Bible very well.
Split large swathes of blood. Okay.
I was thinking something about Moses and
which
blood.
Which scary and... ass Bible did you use as a kid at Sunday school? I mean, the Bible's scary enough. It doesn't need blooding up.
Jesus split the water, didn't he? And then...
No. Jesus walked on water.
He walked on water.
Moses split the
ocean. Maybe I've seen an animated version where the water made... Maybe it was Moana. The thing is... Moses had the tablets. Do you know that I used to be Catholic? Anyway, you couldn't tell.
No. Well, okay. Moses wanted to let his people go because they were enslaved in Egypt and the Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. So he brought 12. He asked God. I mean, he and God collaborated on this. This was a co-pro.
It was it was a featuring.
Exactly. Featuring. Yes, exactly. Moses featuring God or God featuring Moses. I don't know which way around it would go, who the original artist would be.
God. He's the original artist of artists.
You say that, but then you don't... Why was Moses punished in the end? Why did he never get to see the promised land?
Because he was a little bitch. I don't know.
Because he said it was Moses featuring God, not God featuring Moses. Ha-ha! The Bible knowledge comes in handy sometimes. All those years on my knees, not wasted.
So, Moses, you're sometimes called the... Why?
No, I had, when I was younger, certainly a Moses complex because I was adopted.
Yes.
Well, Moses was also adopted because Pharaoh was going to kill all the firstborn of the Israelites, and Moses was put in a basket and sent down the river by his mother to save him.
Yes.
Saved by the Pharaoh's daughter, raised as the Pharaoh's, I guess, grandson then, and then saved for something big. So I think some adopted children, including me, or it might just be me, have a Moses complex where you think if you were saved, you better do something special.
Oh.
Like you have an obligation to at some point in your life stand in front of an ocean and say, let my people go. And
so there was water involved.
There was. It just wasn't. I think you're confusing...
everything.
The plague. There's a plague. Rivers of blood was a plague.
Right.
And then he walked them through the Red Sea. And Red Sea might sound a bit like blood.
I think there was some crossover there.
I think you're confusing season one and season two.
Yeah, I am.
The season two finale is the ocean parting and the Israelites walking through.
Strong finish, right?
But then the beginning of season three is Pharaoh's army coming after them and then Moses closing the ocean on them. So they all drowned.
That's what I'm talking about. I wasn't far off.
No, you weren't far off.
It wasn't blood.
At all.
Okay, it wasn't blood sea, but it was sea that parted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm all right then.
No.
That's very defensive. You weren't saying I wasn't.
No,
I'm having a conversation with myself. I have trauma. Anyway, I have the opposite of a Moses complex. I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the show. I have a secret. It's fine. I have a secret feeling that anything that I put my hand to, that I might be incredible at it.
Yes.
So every time I do a sport for the first time, I'm like, should I call someone for the Olympics just in case? Like I think I'm going to be great.
Amazing.
And then I do it and I'm like I'm monstrously bad, like call the papers bad at nearly everything that I try. So I don't try a lot of things in case I am bad, and then I can still hold on to the fantasy that maybe I'm incredible.
So you have an idea that you could win Wimbledon until you pick up a tennis racket.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's at that point you go, maybe not.
Maybe not, yeah.
Because I secretly think I could win Wimbledon, although I'm very poor at tennis. You know when you just sort of secretly think, if they let me in on a wild card, I'd rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have that? You know, and then when you're actually playing tennis, I can barely...
I'm tired, I'm hot, I want the game to finish, but I'm still like, give Serena a call. we'll just do a rally.
But, but we also know that if we were faced with Serena Williams, or anybody, not Serena Williams, anybody who was knocked out in the first round of Wimbledon, we would not stand one single block. It would be coming at us so fast.
Put racket to ball.
No, a tennis player who you've never heard of and I've never heard of, who was knocked out once 10 years ago in the first round of Wimbledon, if that ball would come at you so fast, it would kill you. because you wouldn't get out of the way quickly enough. We know that. Do you know men do not know that? Do you know? This is true. This is true. A significant number of men, I don't know the percentage, but a significant chunky percentage of men believe they could take a point from Serena Williams. I think that was our, they were asked. They didn't say they could beat her, but they said that they could take a point. They could not take a point. They could not take a point. And these are guys, by the way, who are sitting on their sofa with enough time to answer a survey.
Yeah.
About whether or not they could take a point off Serena Williams. These are not men on a tennis court. These are not men who leave the house.
This is not Andy Murray.
No, these are not men who put their phone down.
It would never be Andy Murray. No. We all know that he's a big, dirty feminist, don't we? Have you seen that?
Oh, he
Have you seen the Andy Murray montages? Just of him slamming journalists?
Yes.
Oh, it's such a turn-on, isn't it?
It is,
like,
actually.
It's Pornhub, forget it. Show me an Andy Murray montage defending women publicly. Oh.
I hear that. Imagine if he did that but in a tuxedo.
He doesn't even have to. It's because he's Scottish too. He just sounds so disappointed in everyone. Or he's just like, I think you mean male tennis player. He goes, what? Is the only male tennis player that's done that? Like, you can almost hear him go,
oh. I think I'm allowed to have my fantasy of him being in a tuxedo as well, though.
You know what, Deb? There is space for both of that, and I'm sorry that I shut your fantasy down.
I feel like you no-buttered my fantasy.
I feel like I did too. Yeah.
Okay, can I yes and my own fantasy then?
Yes and the shit out of it.
Can he be in a dinner jacket?
Yes and?
Holding a puppy.
Yes.
While, just stroking the puppy, sort of lack of attention, you know, and the puppy's just sitting there being looking up at him, and he's just stroking the puppy, and then he's just going, the only male tennis player.
Yeah.
With that contemptuous look he has for all journalists all of the time.
Yeah.
Do you know who else is a feminist? Has anyone seen the Bo Burnham special? Yeah, okay. A couple of people said to me, what do you think of White Woman's Instagram? Because he sings this song. It's very funny. It's about, it's sort
I have
of
seen that.
Fuzzy socks and, you know, a random quote from Lord of the Rings misattributed to Martin Luther King, etc. And he's then doing lots of funny, like, sort of performative Instagram poses. And it's a very cute song. But a couple of people said to me, do you think that's misogynistic? And I said, I think it's teasing. I think it's playful, affectionate teasing. Mm. And I think I want to be able to take a joke. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's not, it doesn't feel like, you know, a big old punch down. It feels like he's talking about the kind of women who have the kind of lives that they want to put on Instagram. It doesn't feel like a punch down to me. But also, I have the loveliest Bo Burnham story in the world. When I was doing the Melbourne Comedy Festival years ago, I was asked to compare this late night, quite bare pit of a comedy. You know, like it's called the Highline Club? Highline Club? You know that late night Melbourne Comedy Festival?
Oh, Hi-Fi.
Hi-Fi. Yes. Hi-Fi. It was like at 1 a.m. It started at 1 a.m., so people were very drunk, and they had to put the headliner on first because people were too drunk at the end. And they had flown in this young man who was 17 at high school, flown him in from America because his YouTube songs were getting so many hits. So I met him backstage, and he was like he's a teenager. He's an adolescent. Anyway, I went out, and it was, I'd never done this club before, and as you know, because I didn't know the name of it. And it was a bear pit. It was like, I was just trying to get people to look in the same direction and be anything that we in the industry call an audience, because they were just a bunch of drunks facing the wrong way. So I was sort of trying to get them to this side, shout this out, this side, shout this out, trying to get people back from the bar to make a, because I thought this kid, you know, he's flown from America and he's first on and I've got to make this a really nice space. And a man in the audience shouted out, do jokes about periods and childbirth, which was, the joke was, I am a woman. And why are you not laughing harder? It's a really good joke because I'm a woman. The only thing I can do jokes about is periods and childbirth. And so I turned to this young man, and I'm not proud of this. I'm really not proud of this. But this is sometimes, Felicity, you will back me up on this, sometimes what you have to do in a comedy club to get respect, isn't it?
I don't know. Well, I'm not committing to anything until I hear what you say.
Okay, fair enough.
You know when you have to be a sexual predator, and it's just what you gotta do.
That is not just to be clear, I did not sit on the man's lap.
Okay.
He said, periods of childbirth. I said, oh, God. Okay, I said, just because... Sorry, are there any children? I feel like this is... No. Okay,
I've already said cunt. Don't worry
that's
about
true.
It. Yeah.
I said, okay, that's
We're
where it's
covered.
Going. I said, I'm not... I'm ashamed. I said, just because I have a cunt and you are one doesn't mean I have to do jokes about them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what that audience did. They were all on my side. And I think because they saw me stand up for myself, it was, you know, it was quick-witted. I threw it straight at him. I wasn't apologetic like that. I really went for it. And they all cheered. They're all on my side. And that made them an audience. That was actually kind of good for me because I was like, ah, now we have a common enemy in this man who is called Khan. I remember that because I did a Wrath of Khan joke. And I
know someone called Khan.
Oh, God, I hope it wasn't him.
Imagine. Anyway. How many Khans do you know?
I mean, not
very
that many.
Very few.
Not
do you
that
even
many.
Know one personally?
No.
I know one personally.
Well, it may be the same man. I don't know. Anyway, whole audience turned on him. They came to me. I thought this is a great opportunity to bring on my first act. You'll never have heard of him. He's 17 years of age. He's a Tim Minchin I could have given birth to. Please welcome to the stage, Bo Burnham. Bo Burnham comes out. Now, he's 17. He's only ever been in his bedroom. That's where he's made the songs and sung the songs. This is the first time he's been out of his bedroom.
The YouTube generation.
In his life. And he came out onto the stage, obviously wanting to bond with his audience, make a good impression. He's been flown a long way. He comes out onto the stage. He walks around. He goes, "Are you Khan?" to the man. And the man goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Yeah, you look like a cunt." And he took him apart. He just went, "How dare you? How dare you? This woman is here doing her job, and you are disrespecting her by speaking to her like that? I don't think so." And the whole audience were like, "Oh!" This child had come out and just gave this man such a lecture on feminism. And then he sat down, sang his song, smashed the room, killed it, and walked off. And afterwards, I was like, that was very nice. Like, I'd done it myself. He didn't need to do it. That was the thing. I hadn't come off crying. I'd come off thinking, you know, actually that had kind of turned it in my favor. But I've always remembered it because I thought, you know, that takes a lot of bravery when you're 17. His songs were problematic as fuck. Please don't listen to any of his back catalog. None of it. There's nothing you would like in his back catalog pretty much at all. But watch Inside. It's fantastic. Mm. Our theme, I forgot to do this bit, and it's the classic bit. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. I'm Deborah Frances White. With me is Felicity Ward, and we're talking about being extra. So I'm just going to come to you before we bring our guests on. Has anyone done anything extra in the last year? Anything in lockdown they would consider extra? Just shout out if you've done anything extra. I have learned to dance. I've already shown you a kick. That is my lockdown extra. Oh. Anyone else done anything extra? Yeah.
I bought a skateboard.
Oh, yes.
I bought a skateboard like 2 weeks ago, and it's rainbow coloured, and I bought a helmet, and I have yet to ride it.
Okay.
But I'm gonna.
It's pretty extra.
It's pretty extra.
A friend of mine's got roller skates and is doing roller skating classes, and she's doing like little circles and tricks. anyone done anything extra they'd like to tell us about? Yes.
Up the back?
Up the back.
Pottery.
Come on. Throwdown.
You're a bad bitch with a kiln. Yes.
Smash that patriarchy.
Yes. Deborah Frances White.
Yeah.
That is a grade A pun.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. What are you making?
Baths?
Bird feeders.
Yes.
Okay, we've got a bird feeder, somebody doing pottery, making a bird feeder. Anything anyone else has done extra, given it's been such an inside year? Yes. Got divorced.
Yes.
Come on. Leave that patriarchy and change the locks, my friend. That's right. Anybody else? Household?
Yes,
drag.
Please.
Just at home drag, domestic drag.
Oh. Oh my God,
oh.
I love it.
So you make a drag costume out of like a mop head and then you put sort of two juice strainers over your breasts, Madonna style.
I love that so much. Have you done that with other people? Oh my God.
Fantastic. Do you have a drag character name that's made up of the household items? But you don't want to tell us. Go on. We can always edit it out. Go on. Okay, just tell us. You what, sorry?
Was it called King of the Bell Ends?
That's
you
good.
You can have
King,
it.
King of the Bell Ends. You were using bells, King of the Bell Ends. Okay, great. Super. Anyone done anything else? Extra. Anyone feeling extra for feminism? Are you reporting your partner there like it's a police state? Are you handing him in to the authorities? What's yours? You got married! Yay!
Now, because it was in lockdown, how did you make it extra? All right. Are you going to have another little party? That sounded unconvincing. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Look, people have saved a lot of money getting married in lockdown. Because I was like, oh, why wouldn't you just wait until... And they're like, and I can see it in their eyes. They're like, we don't have to invite anybody.
Yeah.
We don't have to buy dinner for 150 people, 135 of them we hate.
I mean, my heart really goes out to parents of the Asian community and the African community and the Greek community that up until during this lockdown only had to have 15 people. But now things are opening back up and they're going to have to pay for those big weddings again. So my heart goes out to you.
Yeah, so many people have saved money just by going, oh, unfortunately, it can only be 8 of us and I like all the 8 people. Mm. And then I'll just put it on Instagram. Anyone else done anything extra? Yes? Move to London.
Yay!
Excellent. Was that post the divorce? Oh, it was your divorce. Oh, okay. So you got divorced and then you came to London to be just, are you just mate? It was just a bonus that your friend got divorced.
She didn't do it because you were coming over.
She didn't go.
Just like, we really need the spare room, honey.
Yeah. I feel like, are you two now going to get together post the divorce? This is like Emmerdale, this is. I'm loving this. Okay.
Where did you move from? Can I ask? Johannesburg.
Oh, wow.
Welcome.
Yes.
Was it weird getting to London and not having your getting your bags and they hadn't been gone through by the baggage staff? Just a little South African joke there. I went to South Africa and stopped at Joburg and the person at the desk said, have you got locks on all of your bags? I'm like, no. And she goes, sometimes the baggage handlers go through and steal stuff, so you might want to think. Just said it to me. And then I got off the plane and was going to Cape Town and this guy said, oh, you're going to British Airways? And I said, yep. He said, straight this way. He had a lanyard. And I walked for a bit and I'm like, hang on, he's wearing a tracksuit. He was trying to swindle me.
Wow. Can I ask, is this a true known thing about Johannesburg or is this just something that was told to why did Felicity Ward up? Yay. It's absolutely true.
Did you hear the silence in the room? Everyone's like, she's being very xenophobic / racist. No, she's not. She has lived experience. Having said that, South Africa is an incredible country and I cannot recommend going there enough. I spent a month in Cape Town and I fucking loved it. Loved it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Would you like to hear some stand-up comedy? Please welcome to the stage the incredible Felicity Ward!
Oh, my goodness. guys, that, I mean, thank you for so many claps. Preesh. See, I can pull off preesh, can't I? Mostly because I'm Australian and we abbreviate everything. The theme of tonight is extra, and I've done a couple of extra things lately. Tonight I ate so much. Do you ever eat so much you get sad? Like, I ate so much dongpo pork that at the end of it I was just like, Felicity, what have you done with your life? I was like, mate, you're just full. It's okay. But it happens to me often. The other thing I did is I bought these glasses and they were very, very expensive. The good thing is they look incredibly cheap. And I bought them because I went in and I wanted to get a pair of prescription glasses and I wanted to get a pair of prescription sunglasses because I'm sick of being outside and not being able to see long distance. Now, the person who I was speaking to was young. She was in her 20s, so I thought this recommendation was cool. She said, what about getting transition lenses? And she convinced me. And what transition lenses are is they're glasses, and when you're inside, the glass is clear, and when you're outside, the glass is dark. Now, since I purchased them, I've done a little bit of shopping and a little bit of research, and it turns out most people who own these glasses are pensioners or sexual predators. And the other thing that they have lied about is that it doesn't go clear when you're inside. It goes dark when it is in sunlight at all. Now, in our lounge room, we have a very big window. So sometimes my husband will look at me in the lounge room and see his wife, and then the sun will come out, he'll turn away, then look back and see a 1970s pervert. But do you know what I bought these for? Because they're practical. And that is the end of cool. She said they were going to, they're cool. They're a cool. It can't be cool if it's practical. They cancel each other out. If you're buying transition lenses, like, you can squint and see death. You know, like, it's in the realm. I've bought camping chairs. It's over. It is over for me. I'm at the back nine. I'm at the age now where, you know, when you're young, you only want you and one other person to listen to the same music you listen to. And then as you get older, you want other people and you want to commune with it. And then as you get older again, like when you're in your 30s, then you go, oh, God, young people's music. Once you get to your 40s, all you want is to desperately show young people the music you used to listen to and hope that they will carry on the legacy. And because of the age difference, there is a likelihood that that will happen. And when I see people wearing Nirvana shirts or Pearl Jam shirts, there is nothing less cool than going, I had that the first time around. Oh, get away from me then. Nobody wants me near you. I mean, it's a very weird age. I'm nearly old. I'm nearly old. I'm on the cusp of being pitied. That's where I am. I'm too old for the club, but I'm too young for aqua aerobics. I'm right in the middle. I'm like a Britney Spears chair workshop. That's how old I am. I'm at the age where I think still, if I wore a low-cut top, I still think if a builder walked past me or if I walked past a building site, they would whistle. They would still whistle now. But I'm 4 years off walking past that same building site and them just going, good for her, actually. At her age, good for her. Good for, you look good for your age. You know who you don't say that to? People's faces. You only say that to people about someone else, don't you? God, they look good for their age, don't they? How old? God, she looks great for her age. You know what you don't say to people's faces? Because it usually, especially when they're of a certain age, means you look good for someone who should be dead. You look amazing for someone I assumed was dead. Eric Carle wrote The Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar, and he only died a couple of weeks ago. And when I first heard it, I'm like, oh, no, Eric Carle. And then my husband said, oh, I thought he was dead. I'm like, I thought he was already dead too, actually. You know those people you're surprised they're still alive? I've seen lots of, like, young kids on TikTok and on Instagram, and they're trying to sell skincare product. They're, like, their influence for skincare. They're, like, skinfluers. And I just, here is the thing. I'm never going to buy skincare products off a 15-year-old because that is the best their skin is ever going to look. It's not the cleanser you're using. It's hormones. What I want to see is an 80-year-old who looks 30. I want to come across a woman called Doris and go, oh, no, that poor girl, she's never going to get on the property market. What? She's 85? Take my money. I have an 18-month-old, as I said, and he's a woo! Have you met him? He's fucking awesome. That's the correct response. He's such a fucking champion. Anyway, that's beside the point. There's no jokes there. He's just a 100% legend all the time. I will tell you this. We taught him how to finish his drink and go, which is so funny. And he does it every single, like every sip. He'll go, and then a couple of weeks ago, I saw him really like picking his nose. And I was like, Frankie, what are you doing? And he went, I'm like, you got it. You got it, kid. It was very hard choosing a nursery for him. And you go around to the different nurseries and you see them and they have like a session with them or whatever. And the problem is I am a professional entertainer for a living. I set the bar of entertainment very fucking high. So we went to all these nurseries and I'm watching these teachers and they're doing the best they can, sure. But I see them reading to my son and I'm like, yeah, I mean, you could read it like that, I suppose. But what you just read was that one was too hot, that one was too cold, and that one was just right. Well, you know what, Beverly? I couldn't tell the difference in your performance, yeah? Where's the range? Where's the character? Not for a second do I think the Goldilocks is in someone else's house and facing peril, yeah? I'm just not reading that from you. Do you know what happens with my son? When he gets food, he doesn't just get like a little aeroplane and spoon into the mouth. No, 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 no. I put on fluffy socks, I run outside the kitchen, I bolt back in, I slide in and I scoop it straight into his mouth. It's a performance, you know? That sounded scared. They're like, woo, don't be my mother. I found out there's lots of kinds of mums out there. I found out there's the creepy mums. You know, the mums that are like, he's my best friend and he's the love of my life and I don't need anyone else now because I have my baby. Well, it turns out I'm a creepy mum. I love him. I love him so much. I want to sniff his head every day. I do. I sniff it. I just go up to him and go, I love him. I nibble his back with my gums and just go, Like I used to look at Judy Murray and just go, mate, why are you still breastfeeding him? He's 35. Now I'm like, Judy, give me a call. Her son is an elite athlete and a coach. He has a wife and children, and she's still heavily involved in his life. They are the kind of codependent seeds I need to plant now if I want to grow a tree of codependence, you know? It's an investment. Do you ever think about animals you could beat in a fight? It's been a long lockdown, and I think about it. I'm like, what animals could I beat in a fight, yeah? Chicken? Couldn't beat a chicken, mate. You think you could beat a chicken, but you can't beat a chicken. Chicken's unpredictable. A chicken is so dumb, it's unpredictable. It will be in a full flight of panic and be so wild and out of control, it'll scratch you on the spleen, you won't even know that you're bleeding out. Humiliating. Wouldn't die that way. Wouldn't fight a chicken. Wouldn't fight a snake, and not because of the venom, because fighting a snake is like arm wrestling an arm. It's like a walking, slithering arm. You're not going to do that. Can you imagine if a boa constrictor just wrapped itself around your body and then just started bitch slapping you with its face? Just buh, 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 buh. You got to think of animals that deserve it. You can't fight an animal that doesn't deserve it. Like a mouse. Mouse doesn't deserve it. What is it accused of? Being too cute trying to find cheese? Not going to fight. We're a rat. I'd fuck a rat up. I'm going to leave it there.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is Deborah, briefly interrupting the podcast to tell you that we have some very exciting live shows coming up. On Friday the 10th and Saturday the 11th of September, we are going to be at Queen Elizabeth Hall on the South Bank in London with two spectacular shows. This is our end of lockdown, hopefully, celebration. And these shows are going to be epic. We'll have some of your Guilty Feminist favourites, some music, surprise guests. It's going to be brilliant. Both shows will be different, so you can safely book for both. Please do. You'd be very welcome. But if Sydney or Auckland, for example, are an easier commute for you, then maybe you'd like to come and see us on tour in Australia and New Zealand. We will be doing 9 shows around both countries between the 21st of October and the 8th of November, including coming to Perth and Canberra for the first time ever. Woohoo! The shows we do there are epic. So please, please, please book tickets now. We're also doing regular shows at King's Place in London. The next one is Monday, 12th of July. And there's an option to watch the live stream if you can't come and join us in person for that one. You can get tickets for all of these shows by going to guiltyfeminist.com or following the link in the show notes. Please come and see us in real life. Can't believe I'm allowed to be back in the same room with you. It's going to be amazing. Our first guest today is a fundraiser from Syria who came to the UK in 2017 under the UK Refugee Resettlement Programme. She participated in Choose Loves Around the World in 40 Days Challenge last year, raising money for people living in refugee camps affected by the pandemic. She was also recognised as a member of England's national women's football team, Lionheart Squad, for her fundraising. She is joined by the founding director of Give Your Best, a non-profit that offers a platform where refugee women can shop for free from an online catalogue of donated clothes. Please welcome to the stage Dima Akhtar and Sol Escobar. Now, Dima, your passion is running, but that got disrupted. Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
So, yeah. Actually, before I lost my leg in 2012 because of the war in Syria. So I was runner at my country. And since I lost my leg, I have that passion. I have that hope to run again. And after that, 10 years, I get a prosthetic with running. And I'm start to improve my body and start with it to go to Paralympics.
Wow. Okay. What year? When's the Bahrain Olympics?
Not that year, because, you know, like, I recently have my prosthetic.
When did you get the leg?
Maybe 3 months ago.
Oh, it's really new.
Yeah, it's
oh,
really
amazing.
New.
Round of applause.
So you now have to start training to run again. So mm-hmm. you were a professional runner in Syria?
Yeah. Before I lost my leg.
Okay. My personal trainer used to be in a runner and she ran in the Olympics and the mm-hmm. Commonwealth Games. And it was like a full-time thing. Yeah. Was that what you did? You got yeah. out of bed and you trained to be
yeah.
a runner?
Yeah.
That's absolutely remarkable. As somebody who is not a very talented runner, can I just say I'm in awe of you.
Thank you.
I, at school, in every single race I ever did at school, I came last. Every single race. I have no skill at all or natural talent for running. What kind of races did you run in Syria?
I start with the 100, and when I just like improve my body and the war starts, so we supposed like to go to other to another city, but the war it's just messed up,
yes.
and we can't travel. And since that, I lost my leg, and you know, like it's a new things to work with a prosthetic and like. Like I didn't have any experience before, you know, like mm-hmm. what the way you think, you know. And yeah, we will go like with our 100, but spring, not just like Arana for.
So you're going to start training here?
Yeah.
And then you're going to run in the Paralympics?
Yes.
And will you run in the Paralympics for Great Britain? Will you run in the refugee team? Do you know yet?
Or I didn't get that decision yet.
You haven't decided yet. No. You're just going to start training and
yeah.
see where it takes
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
We're really, really excited to hear more about
you.
That.
Thank you.
And Sol, can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing at the moment?
Yes. So I'm the founder of Give Your Best. And as you said before, we are a platform. We're actually the first platform that does what we do. And we provide a catalogue of donated clothing, which women from refugee backgrounds or who are still seeking asylum, the majority of the people who shop with us are still seeking asylum, or perhaps are destitute or have no recourse to public funding, they can shop for free. So the idea of what we do is that we want to restore agency and choice, mm-hmm. and not just give things, but rather give a choice to the women in our community. Mm-hmm. So we launched Give Your Best only about 8 months ago. And
wow, really?
I know, yes. And in that time, it's been so overwhelming to see the support that we've received. And we have had over 4,500 items of clothing donated, all of which have been shopped by over 500 women. So we've built a community that is amazing. And yes, we have a lot of women that now rely on what we're doing. And we have a huge team as well of volunteers, a lot of who are actually here. yes, so we have a team of over 70 people now that we have recruited in the past 8 months.
Wow.
All women, just because what we do attracts women. We have women from the community that we support as well. Several of them are involved in everything that we do as well. It's been the highlight of the pandemic for me.
Wow.
Yes.
So Give Your Best. It's called Give Your Best because you give something that's good. You don't give something
that's right.
You just go, this has got holes in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here are some old underpants I don't want.
Yeah. But people
we won't
do.
Take those.
People do often.
I won't either.
People do often take things that they think, oh, it's a bit worn out, but I'll give it to a charity shop. And what you're saying is there anything in your wardrobe that you don't wear that
That's
somebody
right.
else could, but actually is a beautiful piece of clothing or
yeah.
you know a very high quality piece of clothing or virtually new or new?
Yeah, so basically the way it works is people that have these items to donate, who, yes, we do ask for them to be the best things that you have that you don't wear. They submit everything online and we have then our amazing volunteers, they put everything into our online shop and women from our community, then they can shop it for free. And we try to make it as much of a shopping experience as we possibly can. Then we basically liaise with the people who want to donate the items and we give them the information as to where to send them. So it doesn't necessarily, we don't hold the items, so there is no donation waste, which is a very big issue as well. So it goes from person to person and we are the liaison between the two. So something that we like to emphasize is that connection between the two people.
This is very clever.
You're like millionaire matchmaker
but for clothes.
Refugee women.
Yeah, exactly. So we send the information to the person gifting the item. We like to kind of redefine a donation as a gift, and we tell them the information of the person who wants that item. And how much information that person gives away is completely up to them, because we deal with a very vulnerable group of people. So if they want to share their personal details with the person gifting the item, they can send it directly to them. Otherwise, they can only share their information with us and the items go via us. We ask them to make it personal to the person who has shopped it, because what we want to emphasize is that connection between the two sides, and the fact that when you are sending an item of clothing, you know that it's a woman on the other side who is your same size and has your same fashion sense, but is living in a completely different reality.
Wow.
And we kind of want that to be the focus
community.
Of what we do. Yeah.
Well, you are dressed so stylishly.
Thank you very much.
You're a really good advertisement for your own site, because I look at
you. This is actually a dress that I have repurposed as a coat, so...
It's
dream big, kids.
This is what we're doing this year.
You can look like this too. Do you know what? I have gone from a size 6 to a size 14, and I have some clothes that need a home, and some of them are very nice. And I have
somewhere where you could gift those items.
Well, that whoever gets these will get a long history of each piece of them, because I have collected them for 20 years and I can't wear them anymore.
You should tell them all about it.
Oh, don't you think I won't? Imagine encouraging me to speak. You should tell them. Oh, I was going to.
That's actually one of the things that our community loves the most, and they tell us all the time, is the notes that they receive with the packages, because they are so supportive, and they it's just women that they don't know, strangers telling them, you're welcome here, and you know, keep going, and I know that you're going through a difficult time, but we're here for you. And you know, some of them have told us that until they started receiving that support, they actually didn't know that they were welcomed here because all that they saw was the bad press and the hate online. And after actually getting these notes from people that support them, they actually realize, oh, actually, there are people out there.
There are lovely people, yeah.
Is it welcomed or distasteful to make suggestions about what that outfit would go with?
It's,
or what you used to wear?
It's encouraged.
It's encouraged. It's encouraged. Yes.
So what they would like is printed out pictures of you wearing this dress at a party, on a red carpet, at a prom, anything like that.
I might make some mixed tiles up for them and just put them in so they can have it on
their
wall. Picture
in the wardrobe door.
Yeah, yeah.
Go, oh, that looks good with that brown belt, and she's thrown that in.
Like, I don't want to say that I am fashion inspo. I'm just saying that I could be if you open your heart to me.
You could be our ambassador, our spokesperson.
Don't offer that if you're not going to follow through, because I love being a representative of anything.
I mean,
so Felicity Ward is now an ambassador of Give Your Best.
What have you donated yet, Felicity? Nothing.
You will, though. You will. Tonight you're going to go home.
But I've been very loud.
And you're going to get out all those clothes, because I definitely have things as well. You know, sometimes it's hard to part with something, because you just think, oh, but I might wear it. And actually, this is a good reason. I don't take it to a charity shop because I think, what if I want it? But actually, with this, I wouldn't get that feeling. I'd think it's gone to a home where somebody else will treasure it.
And another fabulous woman.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is something that has really attracted people to gift their items through us. And that's why we've been so surprised that there's been so much support, because people find it like a really meaningful way to donate and a truly sustainable way as well, because they know that the person who receives it is going to wear it. And we try to emphasize that meaningful part of it as well.
This has got a very Toy Story 4 feeling to it, where Andy passes his toys on. Sorry, I can't.
So listen, this is one amazing way of creating. I mean, Emma Dabiri came on recently, and I don't know if anyone's read her book since she came on the show. It's called What White People Can Do Next. But she said it's about changing the idea of charity and allyship into the idea of coalition. And I think your setup there sounds like one of coalition and of women, the same way that I'd say to Felicity, I would say to you, if you said, oh God, I've got a fancy thing to go to, that's exactly what I'd do. It's a coalition. I'd go, oh, I've got a fancy red carpet dress or something for you that you might like to wear. Come over. I can only wear one dress at a time. So it's a great way of creating a coalition and a community. Mm. But I want to come over now to Dima, because you yourself, Dima, are a refugee, but you have now participated in Choose Loves Around the World in 40 Days Challenge, raising money for people living in refugee camps affected by the pandemic. Can you tell us about that? Because you seem like someone who should be, in a way, taking it a bit easy now, you don't mind me saying. Like, if I'd come out of a war zone and, you know, with a significant injury, the career of my choice, you know, had to be rethought through, and I'd found a safe haven, I'd really be putting my feet up and just going, you know, I'd be just taking it chill and saying, what can other people do for me? That would be my main question. How can other people help me? And what you've done is gone, oh, well, I now need to do a 40-day round-the-world challenge for other people. Explain yourself.
You're making us feel very bad.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely give a dress to Sol, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do what you've done. Can you explain what it is?
Actually, when I said that the website for the Choose Love, they will help refugees in the camp. And I said to myself, like, I was there. I was, like, in the same place, the people there, they were now. And I said, like, well, I'm not help. So, like, okay, I have prosthetic. I have, like, another foot. Okay, I didn't feel it, but it was work. So I suggest to work to walk 1 mile, and it just like I bought like 1,000 to just like just in case to be in safe place. And when I saw like the people they donate about that and they just like support me, okay, I'm walking. I said to myself, like, okay, even like you walk on crutches or like in one leg, it doesn't matter. You just need give that peace or give that hope to other people, you know, that
so it's a fundraiser where people walk.
Yeah.
How do they count the steps? Like, what's the
who's policing this? How do we know how far you've walked?
So what I'm asking. Yeah. I'm asking, what's the overall challenge? Like, what was the challenge that people could do?
Just like maybe like you cycling, you like walking, you running, you like whatever you can do.
But you would do a certain length because it's a pandemic.
Yeah.
You can't actually do that thing where someone, you know, walks a certain amount.
Yeah.
So you could walk a certain amount every single day to create this kind of round the world in 40 days challenge.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And so you decided to do that. And again, I am so bad at going for walks. It's embarrassing. So this is incredibly impressive. And so you were able to raise money by doing that for people in refugee camps. Yeah. And you yourself had experienced life in a refugee camp.
Exactly.
So you wanted to give something back.
Yeah, exactly. Just like to help other people, like to just like feel like safe, to feel like just put a smile in their face. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's because it's hard to be refugees. It's hard to like to go out from your home. So, but that makes help a little bit, you know, like that feeling, that depressing, that it's out of your hand when you get out from your home. So, but I did it. It's just like, you know, like I walked 1 mile. I can't go up because I was in pain and I had an operation in my stomach. But since I feel like such a bad pain and my leg, it's like bleeding, you know.
Oh God!
Yeah, but I say to myself, you can do it. Just go for it. Just go for it.
You are just so much a better person than I am or ever will be.
I mean, when I'm bleeding and I've got my period, I won't go for a walk.
No, I'm unbelievably impressed by this. You were also recognised as a member of England's national women's football team, Lionheart Squad, for fundraising. Could you tell us about that?
This is like, until now I'm shocked about this moment because it's like I was like just invited to see like the other people there because we are like 23rd people who's like helping in pandemic and we are like a big team now. And just like when I saw that Elena White, the famous footballer, was like, I shocked myself. Like, you know, when you feel dizzy and you can't believe that person just in front of you. I said, I just like, is it you? Is it you?
Do you follow women's football? Do you follow? Oh, right.
Yeah. So.
You're quite starstruck. Deb feels like that about me sometimes.
I do.
Just calm her down.
I wouldn't be able to recognise any footballers, I don't think, hardly. But you saw this footballer who you, and you're a big fan.
Yeah. So I do some like chat with her and I'd be like, yeah.
Did you say anything embarrassing? You know, when you're in front of someone that you really like and you're like, I like eels. What? I've never met an eel. Why are you walking away?
Oh, that time you met Gloria Steinem. Yeah. Still coming back to you, still haunting you.
Eels of all things, it's so phallic. Did you say anything embarrassing that you wish you hadn't said?
No. That was so nice.
This woman is dignified. She's not like us.
No, I didn't mean that.
So you're now looking to, you know, become an elite athlete again. What can we do to support you? Because this is convincing Felicity and me maybe to get off our asses. And, you know, I do Peloton now, so I could Peloton to raise money. It's cycling at home. I'm ashamed. By all means, judge me. It'll make me feel better if you do. How can we support you, Dima?
Anyway, you will feel like comfortable with it.
Can I give you a massage? Or?
Do you need money to train? We've had another brilliant para athlete on in Australia called Monique a couple of times, and she always needs Guilty Feminists to support and raise money because women's sport is woofully underfunded.
Exactly,
I want to shock you here.
No. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to say, like, it's expensive to have, like, a coach because you need to have a special coach for, like, who's, like, teach you how to run. And even, like, 10 years, I didn't get that decision to run and my muscle doesn't work, like, properly until now in the right way. So, but, yeah, you need, like, a special one to work with you and work with the prosthetic as well. Mm. And it's not big and cheap. Mm.
So do you have a website, a coffee account, a Patreon, GoFundMe? Hit us up!
Yeah,
where can we throw cash at you?
Yeah.
Look, I might be aggressive, but I also put that towards my support.
Thank you so much. My page, it's GoFindMe.
A GoFundMe.
Yeah. You've got a GoFundMe. Yeah. Okay, all right. So we will put that in the show notes. If you could pop something in for Dima's GoFundMe, you know, because you've heard she'd do it for you.
She has, actually. She's doing it quietly right now, and you're being really ungrateful.
Sol, I want to ask you two questions before we get our musician on, because I can see Tom is hovering.
we talked for so long at the beginning.
one question, Sol, that I've got is, what's the online for you?
How can people contact us? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
The online world. Yes.
How can people
Give everything that we do, you can access on our website, and it explains all of the steps to both donate, gift your items, and also to shop them. So we are at giveyourbest.uk. We're also giveyourbest.uk in all of the platforms. We're very active on Instagram. We put out a lot of information as well and educational posts. We have a team of volunteer researchers that do a lot of research into sustainability and refugee rights. We have a lot of several interviews with women from our community, because we want to amplify their stories. And that's how, Deborah, you found about ACTA as well, because we had an interview with Demma, and we tried to put out as much information as possible. So social media, our website, all the information is there.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Demma, what size are you? Are you a six?
No, I was 10 and now 8.
No, well, I've probably got some 8s. I've probably got some stuff, and I'm just saying, this isn't an example. I have some much nicer clothes. You didn't accuse me of that, but I just thought I'd be a bit defensive just in case.
And Sol, can I ask you, you started this 8 months ago. You obviously had this idea in lockdown. You thought, I can make this happen. And then you did. And then it's a really big going concern, and it's brought joy to a lot of people's lives. If people who are listening to this, people here tonight or people around the world listening, how do they go about that? How do they go from, I've got a great idea, but, I don't know, it seems like it would cost money, or it seems like it would be difficult, or I don't know anyone who would do it with me. What makes you the kind of person, or what simple steps could people follow to do their own startups?
It's a good question, because I always want to try to inspire people to just give it a go, because you really don't know what's going to happen. I didn't know that it was going to become what it is now, and I had been volunteering for a long time, going to Calais, actually, thanks to your episode special from Calais.
Oh, really?
That's how it all started, so it does come in full circle here today.
Wow, that's amazing.
So for a few years I was doing that, and then lockdown hit, and I was very frustrated with not being able to support people in person. I was also volunteering with my community as well, with people resettled from Syria, and I just thought, there's got to be something. I was talking to women who were seeking asylum, who were saying how they couldn't access anything because charity shops were closed and charities themselves were closed during lockdown. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to send you my clothes. And then I thought, well, actually, it's a household of 8 women of different sizes. Maybe I'll ask my friends to see if they have clothes. And I put it out on social media, and the response was overwhelming, from people just really wanted to help. Mm-hmm. And I think that I had underestimated how much people really want to help and want to support. And so I talked to them, and I thought, you know what, I'm not going to send you all of these random items. I'm going to put photos on Instagram, mm-hmm. and you go and choose what you like, and I'll send you that. And they love that. And I thought, well, actually, if it works for them, maybe it works for more people, so let's give it a go. And I just put it on social media, and I said, does anyone want to help me set this up? And 8 months later, 71 people want to help me run this.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So if you're listening to this in another part of the world and you think, oh, that sounds great, but we don't have that here in America or Canada or Australia or wherever you are, it's that step by step. If you can organise a dinner party, you can start something like that. That's the truth.
Like, and I mean, I do it alongside my full-time job. So if you have the time and the flexibility, I do realise that a lot of people might not have the time to do, you know, things like this. But it doesn't have to be as big as this is. Mm-hmm. This became bigger than I could have ever imagined. But you could do one thing. Yes, you could help one person. You know, we can't solve the refugee crisis, but we can help one person and we can make a difference in one person's life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's enough as well.
Does that feel like coalition to you, Demet? When you meet someone like Sol, does it change how you feel about living in a place and starting again?
Actually, I start 3 times, so don't be afraid if you fall over many times. So, yeah, I start 3 times, like, from beginner, to be honest, since I lost my leg. But the last one, 2017, I start my life just a new person. Mm-hmm. And start everything, like learn English, learn how, like, coach and the traditional, like, how to live like with community, like a difference from my home as well. And yeah, it's just like I'm happy. It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
But you will get there. It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like hard to just start from beginner, and you lost, like I lost 6 years without doing nothing, without like even study. You're
in a camp for 6 years?
I was in Lebanon, but I didn't have the right, because I don't have prosthetic. I don't have like to be honest, enough money to go to school or to the university to complete my study. Mm-hmm. And I can't work because I'm not going to say like some people doesn't accept disabled without like a leg, but I'm still the same person. Mm-hmm. Okay, I lost like the fake leg, you know, but it doesn't like stop my life. And yeah, it's not just like end of the world to lost my leg. It's just a leg. As you say, like for the chicken. Yeah, just to break it down and have another one. That's it.
Well, we're delighted you're here, and we are excited to see what you do next and to support you in your running career. We're very, very thrilled. And same with you, Sol, with what you're doing. We think it's amazing. And if somebody did want to start Give Your Best in another country, could they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you know, we've had emails from people in about 6 other countries asking us if we are going to go to those countries. And, you know, we are a team of people with big dreams, so we do have the dreams.
Maybe
of
people could expand to other countries if there was a bunch of volunteers in another country that wanted to start it up. They could, you know, sort of franchise it without
getting, obviously it's a voluntary thing, but
I don't mean franchise it like pay you a bunch of money. I mean, you know, use the branding and I mean, please do.
But also there's a travel ban, so you probably will need that.
You've both been absolutely brilliant guests. Please stay with us here. But for now, a big round of applause for Demet Akdar. And Sol Escobar. Our musician today is an entity of turbulent imagination born from the intuition and maverick spirits of two compelling performers. Please welcome Anna Phoebe and Aisling Brewer. Phoebe and Aisling.
Hi!
Phoebe and Anna, sorry. Anna and Aisling. Edit that out. Anna and Aisling, casual as you like. Anna and Aisling.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
us. What are you going to play for us?
So we're going to be playing 2 pieces from our new upcoming album, because we've actually been living in 2 separate countries for the last 18 months. So this is the first time we've actually are able to play together again in 18 months. So it's really, really special. And we were supposed to be touring, and obviously all of that got cancelled. And so instead, we decided to just write another album. So we're playing 2 pieces from our new album, which will be out later this year.
And what's the album called?
Chrysalis.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Am I saying this Ava or Ava?
So Ava Waves is the entity.
Ava Waves.
The world that we build between us.
Ava Waves. Okay, all right. Take it away, Ava.
Woo!
Thank you. Oh, it's so nice. We haven't played together in the same room, so this is amazing. Thank you so much for having us. That one... and actually, like, really strangely, we actually figured out that, because you've been a fan, definitely, you told me about this podcast.
Literally from the beginning.
I know everyone probably says this, but the person who introduced me to the podcast actually came tonight as soon as she found out that we were playing.
And then we found out that, I think, not that we've been, like, stalking, but, like, you started the first podcast, I think, was December the 15th, 2018, would that be right? Because it was 2015. Which, and it was, sorry, it was 3 days later, we did our first gig together.
Oh,
so
wow.
I feel like we're like kind of in
that's
the same.
That's amazing. I think we were the ninth, because it was the day before my birthday, but it's exactly that,
that same month.
You and we were starting out together.
Yeah,
wonderful. So. Well, how nice that we finally met.
Yeah. So that piece was called Emerging Flight, and then we're going to finish off with going back to our Irish roots. We've both got, I'm Greek, German, Irish. Aisling is like Dutch. Irish.
Dutch, Irish.
And so this one is called Awakening, and it's also from the new album.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us. This has been really special. I'm going to do a quick cheeky plug, if I may. We have a gig coming up at the Royal Albert Hall Elgar Rooms at the end of the year, where we're part of Knit and Sawney's Journeys Festival celebrating 150 years of immigration. So if you're around, please do come see us. We'll be doing a full set there. Thank you.
Yay! Ava Waves, everybody. Ava Waves. Listen, that sounds absolutely right up our street. So everyone should get on that. It's at the Royal Albert Hall in the Elgar Room.
Yeah, so we're playing the 6th of November.
Get on that and go and see the full set. In the meantime, if we'd like to download your music or buy it, ideally, where can we do that?
Yes, I meant to say to you, if you want to listen to problematic music without paying the artist any royalties with your...
I do
so
sometimes.
So the key is, basically, it doesn't clock up as a play if it's under 30 seconds. So you just need to listen 29 seconds and then stop and then listen again. And that way, you don't have to pay to download the track.
So, So it's she's a good girl, I know you want it. I know you want it.
Stop. Yeah. And then
here at Spotify, we like to give you the best listening experience.
But hang on. But if you want to support us, we don't have any vinyl and stuff with us, but you can download our tracks.
We also don't have offensive music because we weren't instrumental most of the time.
Yes. So.
I actually felt that last track was a bit sexist, actually. Yeah, but we'll talk about it after the show.
There was an undertone, and
I felt it.
Cancellation is imminent.
Yeah.
Just with the way you were using the bow.
It just felt... It felt like you were paying men more. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
when I listen to that,
I'm not sure about it. It's just a funny feeling.
It's a vibe.
Hang on. Before I came on, I thought I was being really brave because I've got my period and I'm wearing white trousers.
Feminism
for the win.
I was like, that is the ace up my sleeve. But then after meeting Dima and hearing your story, it's like, well, you know, there is no comparison.
We all have our struggles.
Yes.
And period in white trousers. Yep. I mean, that's a Purple Heart award for me.
We've all got reasons to talk to our therapist. I mean, to be honest, there's a thrill and an excitement in the danger of going up on
stage. It was a long wait, sitting down there,
I would sooner jump out of a plane. Then I don't own white trousers because I am a filthy grub.
You're wearing pale trousers. That kind of counts.
It's a bold move for me. I'm like 3 days past my period. I'm like, who do you think you are?
Well, we were kind of thinking the new album, we're bolder. We've come out of lockdown
vivid
together.
Colours. It's all about vivid colours.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you're both wearing shades. But
not too vivid. But our agent, Angie, who's here, she was like, look, if you're going to be on your period, this is the place for it. So.
Absolutely. Right.
Absolutely.
If anything, we're disappointed that your period didn't bleed through.
Listen, in a very real way, I would love your next album to be called Free Bleed.
Thank you.
Or Free Bleeding. Free Bleeding from Ava Waves. You've been absolutely wonderful. It's spelt so that when you go to download it, AvaWaves. So everyone's allowed to get their phone out now and download a track and pay for it, please, because they've got to eat.
Or just listen for more than 30 seconds.
Listen for more than 30 seconds if you're just streaming it, but can't you just pay for it on iTunes?
You can, or you can pay for it on iTunes and then listen to it for 31 seconds on repeat, and then that each one will count as a play. All of the above.
I don't like the modern world. I like going and buying a cassette tape that would then get spooled up in my tape that I have to do it back with a pencil.
Deb, you know what that did? That music slapped.
Yes! Yes, it did, baby. It slapped.
It was an absolute bop.
I'm going to say it was lit.
Oh, are you?
Okay, no, I'm not.
They can smell it. They can smell it. It's the enunciation. I would say that was lit. You sound like the Queen.
One must keep current if one is going to keep the monarchy relevant.
One would say that was a vibe. Twasn't it?
Big up to my Windsor Massive. Please act on what you've heard tonight. Try and put at least one piece of clothing in the next week to give your best. and encourage other people in your family to do it. There are a lot of people that don't listen to podcasts that aren't engaged in this way, but if you told them, hey, if you got in lockdown, did you clear out a lot of stuff and you haven't taken to a charity shop yet? Mm. Is there anything good, actually good in that bag?
Did anyone do Marie Kondo in 2020 and then not do anything about it in 2021?
Are there big bags in the hallway or the cupboard under the stairs or, you know, in a suitcase that I'm meaning to take? Dig around in there. If there's anything actually half decent, could you please give it to give your best and to see what that feels like?
Could I do a little plug as well there?
Yeah.
We are actually now recruiting volunteers to act as clothing collection points because we've had a lot of people that, for example, are moving countries or they're getting rid of clothing but don't have the time to take the photos. And, you know, it is a bit of an involved process. We have named them our Give Our Besties, which we think is the cutest thing.
Strong
so work. If anyone wants to be our Give Your Bestie, there's the sign up form on our website. And all you have to do is just either you can actually do a rally if you want for, you know, people in your neighborhood to donate clothing. But otherwise, we would like to have those collection points across the country. So if anyone wants to haul clothing, you can sign up.
Amazing.
Great. And while we're on it, Aisling, if you are giving away that top, I'll have it. Okay. You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis-White, guest host Felicity Ward, and our very special guests, Demma Akhtar, Sol Escobar, and Ava Waynes. The Guilty Feminist theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge and produced by Nick Shelton. The producer was Tom Selinsky for the Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Zoe, Tom, and everyone at King's Place, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. Very glowed up. That's the character. That's the character.
That sounds natural, doesn't it? That's young people, that sounds like if Deb was undercover as like a young person and you're all in a group, you would never pick in a second that she wasn't Generation Z.
How do you do, fellow kids?
How do you do, fellow youthful?
Youth children.
Young youth children, yes.
Yeah, okay, all right, fine,
peeps.
Whatever. She's not glowed up. She's not a glown up. I don't know.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
She's not a glown up, but she's like a
She's not a glown up.